It's almost the universal consensus of scholars that the Gospel of Mark was the first written, probably around the year 70, the year of that fateful destruction of Jerusalem by the armies of Caesar. And it's also near universally conceded that the Gospels of Matthew and Mark and Luke were written with the Gospel of Mark in their hands about 15 years later. And it's very illustrative of what Mark was about and who Jesus was and their understanding of Jesus when you compare those three Gospels. In fact, if anybody's really serious about New Testament stuff, the best thing they could get is a book called Gospel Parallels, where all three Gospels are set out in parallel columns. The differences are quite revealing. And so I'd like to talk today about a single letter in the differences. And it is in this nearly last line, "And Jesus could do no deed of power there." Matthew, when he takes up this same passage, writes, "And Jesus would do no work of power there." And I think the difference is extraordinarily important between could not and would not. So we can assume that could not is the more primitive reading, huh? The earliest understanding of Jesus. And when Matthew comes to write would not, there's already what is called an elevation of Christology, a belief that Jesus was becoming closer and closer to God, to Godhead. So this incapacity of Jesus is not just, I would suggest, an example of an earlier understanding of Jesus, but I think it has an even deeper theological meaning, religious meaning, than there would not. Why couldn't Jesus do anything there? Well, the text has it, because of their unbelief. Belief in what? That Jesus was the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, etc., etc. No, that was centuries later, that kind of understanding. So what is it they were supposed to believe in, according to Mark? The humanity of this man. That this is what it means to be human. And putting it that way, I think, opened up all kinds of religious significance for us. Because we would like to resist, I would like to resist, that kind of radical, universal generosity that marked the career of Jesus. That radical truthfulness, speaking truth to power, that phrase has become so popular and so casually tossed around, I think, today, that characterized Jesus' life. His courage, therefore. It's intimidating. It's intimidating to me. But more to the point, even, is the fact that God is limited by our freedom. The action of God through this man Jesus is limited by our freedom. And this is a profoundly Jewish notion of God. I mean, we get God through Jesus would not do anything, then God's still in absolute charge and God can do whatever he wants regardless of us human beings and our attitudes and our responses. But if it's a matter of could not, then we emerge in a quite different light, I think. It's the God of Abraham who will bargain with God over whether there are 50 just people in the city of Sodom. It's the God of Jacob wrestling with the angel, who was a figure of God, wrestling with the angel. In other words, God has absolute respect for our freedom. God has made us to be free, and God is not going to withdraw from that commitment to us as free beings. This is enormously important. This is absolutely foundational to any authentic religiosity, because we have the language so often, which more and more, the older I get, drives me crazy. Jesus died for our sins. We are washed in his blood, you know. As if it's some kind of automatic process that takes part away from us, of which we are simply the objects. No. We are the subjects. We are dialogue partners with God. And God is not going to constrain, force, coerce, threaten, menace us in any way that's going to circumscribe that freedom. Jesus died for me only to the extent that I actually believe that Jesus died because of his humanity, his way of being human. And only to the extent that I subscribe to that, that I say, yes, in fact, that is what it is to be human, can we make sense of all those seemingly objective descriptions of God doing this, God doing that, we just being the subject of God. There's so many reasons why we come, I think, to that misconstruction of things. We, especially in the Roman Church, for whom obedience is supposed to be the hallmark of religious observance. No! I would make a suggestion. Every time you see the word obedience, you read the word faithful or responsive as to being unfaithful and unresponsive. So if these guys in Jesus' hometown are going to say, oh, well, this bozo is no better than the rest of us, you know, that's his way of doing things, well, this is my way of doing things. Mm-mm. Jesus cannot act over against our intentions, over against what we see life is supposed to be about. Rather than God saying, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, full stop. Mm-mm. That's not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and certainly not the God of Jesus.